What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, and we're on episode 60. And this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps this podcast and helps us keep on going. With me this morning, as I always say every morning, or every Friday morning, I guess, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? How we doing?
Pretty good. It's nice out. It's like, it feels like we're actually going into spring now. It's not like, you know, but who knows? Like, the weather's been so crazy, it could be like snowing again, you know, because it was snowing last week.
I don't trust it either. Yeah. I agree.
So, but it feels really good here. The sun's out. It's been out for like more than 2 days consecutively, which is a big thing. So
yeah, like you finally walk around in t-shirts. It's getting hot inside.
Yeah,
so nice.
Pretty excited for summertime coming up and all the stuff that goes with that, like Computex and all the fun games that get released over the summertime. So I'm pretty, good times
for sure, definitely.
So we'll talk about the one review we did this week, and this review took up a lot of my time because it is a pretty cool device. It is the WD MyCloud EX2 Ultra, and that is a network attached storage device. And what's interesting is that Western Digital or WD doesn't want to really call it a NAS. They don't like that word. Which is kind of funny, but it is a NAS.
Whether they want to call it that or not.
Yeah, so it is the upgrade to their original MyCloud EX2. So they've upgraded it with better processor and more memory. So it can do things, obviously, faster. This is a dual-bay NAS. So it's more in, like, the prosumer level. It's not – I wouldn't say it's a consumer, but it's more, like – prosumer, so you can do a lot of cool stuff, maybe some small business stuff you could do with it as well. So it is a dual-bay NAS, as I said, and you can get it without any drives, or you can get it loaded with WD drives. So the drives that are inside are the WD Reds that are made specifically for NAS operations, so that's obviously a plus. So we received the 8 terabyte version, so it's two 4 terabyte drives in there, and they actually offer it up to 16 terabytes. So again, if you're doing business stuff, you have this at your small business, it definitely will work out for you. There's a lot of cool stuff.
16 terabytes is more than enough for most uses.
And just like any NAS or dual-bay NAS, you have support for RAID 0, RAID 1, and JBOD, so you can set it up however you want to do it there. If you need the data redundancy, you can go ahead and do that as well.
Question, does it come pre-configured?
Yes.
Okay. How does it come?
RAID 1, I believe.
Okay. So redundancy.
Yes. Yeah. RAID 1. Yeah. Cool. So yeah, everything is pretty much already set up, which is really nice. You know, if you're buying your own drives, you're going to have to set it up, obviously.
Yeah.
But when it comes preloaded with drives, it's already set up, ready to go. It's extremely easy to set up too. The way they walk you through is actually pretty easy. Not the easiest I've seen, but it is very easy. If you're a first-time NAS user and you're trying to set this thing up, it is very easy. You basically plug it in. You go to mycloud.com, and it just runs you through it. It's really, really easy.
Nice.
You know, the only thing that I didn't like about that is that the way they have you set it up is actually through the internet instead of locally. So if you are at some company that just wanted a local NAS or something, it's a little more difficult to set up unless you know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, you can go on your network and see the IP address that your router's given it, and you can connect to that IP address. You know, if you're computer literate and you know about that kind of stuff, you can easily set it up just the same way. But if you're not, it's going to be more difficult, and there's no instructions that come in the box that tell you how to do that. So that's one of the things that I was kind of a little weirded out about, because you know, some people don't have an internet connection or aren't using this in that fashion. They're using it on their local network for backup or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the great part about this is it is called MyCloud, And that means that you can access your files from anywhere. They have it set up really great. MyCloud.com, you add your device in there and you can set up shares and you can do all that. So you can access it anywhere. Any PC, you can go on and just go to MyCloud.com and you can access your files. You can upload your files. It's just like basically having a Dropbox that's your own, which is really
right,
cool.
Right.
And the service, I mean, obviously it's free because it's running on your own network. And you can even set it up to, if you set your, you have to go into your router and set your port forwarding up, but if you want to, you can actually, be able to control the NAS from anywhere as well, through mycloud.com, but you have to enable that. It's disabled okay. by default.
For security, probably.
On top of that, you know, they have all of these applications. I mean, what's great about these applications is they're universal, which means they work on Mac and they work on PC, which I think is a really big thing. And they have mobile apps, one for iOS and one for Android, which, again, I think is really awesome because, you know, we have all these files now. It's not just like we're backing things up on our PC, right? I mean, you want to back up stuff on your phone. You want to take photos and videos and you want to get them off your phone easily. So all of the apps work really great too. They have a backup app, they have a drive sync app, they have an app that kind of just helps you manage the device, and they have their mobile apps. So there's just so much into this that it's like you use this device to back up everything in your life, which I really like, and you have access to it anywhere. And I think that's really great about this because a lot of NASs don't focus on that. They're more business type, you know, backup stuff. And this one, while it has all of those features, it has a lot of cool things that you can do if you're running a business. This has everything, plus it gives you all of those consumer features that I think a lot of people want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to simplify things.
Yeah, so I really like the device. It's really, really cool. The only weird thing, I found this on a lot of WD external hard drives as well, is there's no power button. No. You just plug it in and it turns on. I'm not a huge fan of that, especially when you need a power cycle or something. You know, anytime you can't, you can't access the control panel or something's going on, and you just want to flip the switch. I feel much more comfortable flipping a switch than completely unplugging it and then plugging it back in.
Yeah, I think we're just hardware guys and we like that level of control.
Yeah, but I really, really like this device. If you're looking for any type of NAS backup or your, you know, cloud storage or something like that, this is a really great device. Super easy to use. The interface is really great. It's running their brand new MyCloud OS 3 software, which is really cool. So it works really well. The web interface is great for it. You can set it to auto update firmware. So, you know, if you aren't, again, like a power user like us who goes in and checks for firmware all the time and that kind of stuff, it just will automatically update the firmware for you. And it has, like I said, a lot of really high-end features too. Like, there's a lot of applications that are made for the MyCloud OS 3 that allow you to, you know, you can install WordPress. So you can be running WordPress on the NAS. So if you're a developer,
really?
You can develop websites. There's
That's cool.
My PHP stuff. So again, if you're a PHP developer, you can do all your development on there. It supports Plex Media Server. So all the media that you can put on it, you can go ahead and serve out to all of these other devices that support Plex. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff on there.
That's awesome.
So yeah, like I said, I was you know, WD isn't known for NASs specifically, right? They're more known for hard drives. So I just felt that they did a really great job on this. It is the first NAS I've reviewed from WD, I believe. So very, very, you know, I really liked it. It was done really well. And right. It's fast. It's a very fast NAS too. So that's one thing you have to worry about is, you know, how the speed's going to be. And it's like right around 100 megabytes a second read and write across the board, which is really good. So
yeah, considering it's not RAID 1 or RAID 0.
Well, I mean, it's you have to think it's the speed of the hard drive. These are typical hard drives. Yeah. They're not SSDs or anything like that. So
right.
So it's really great, and it has a ton of features and a lot of stuff that you can go really in depth with too. So definitely check out my review. I went over a lot of the software and all that kind of stuff in it. So
nice, good word.
So yeah, so we'll move on to your article this week, and you wrapped up your water cooling 101. series, which this would be part 7. So it's a 7-part series where Derek went and he basically gave you everything you need to know about water cooling. This is just such a great great series. And the last article is adding that last part of your loop, which is your memory blocks. And then he did a section on maintaining your loop. So yeah, Derek, tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, well, that's basically it.
Yeah.
Hate to say it. I mean, this is finally wrapping this series up. It's been a long time coming, so it's really good to finish it out. We put some phobia blocks on a couple of sticks of RAM. It didn't work out as well as I had hoped. The barbs on the phobia blocks were not the size that the packaging said they were, so I actually didn't have a very tight fit with my tubing that I had ordered for it, which was unfortunate. I still got everything up and running, but it was leaking slightly, so we didn't do a whole lot of testing or just checking the system temps or anything with the more restrictive tubing. But nonetheless, the process is there. You can easily see how to set up memory blocks. Probably grab these blocks.
One thing I really liked about this article is you showed how to remove the heat spreaders from memory.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not know how to do that. And I think, again, I think it's one really cool thing you did with this article series is that you really showed people how to do things. You know, you really went in depth. It's not like, okay, take the heat spreaders off your memory. And then, you really show people how to do these things. And I think, again, if you're getting into water cooling, a lot of times, especially, you know, even when you're doing anything, you want that step by step by step. You don't want like those IKEA instructions.
all of a sudden, the next bit is together.
Yeah, it's like this article series. Derek really does go step by step by step, and it's awesome. This is a guide that you can use if you're doing any type of water cooling in your system. I mean, and he even, like I said, if you go to the earlier articles, he shows you how to design your loop. The parts to pick and what specifically you should look for in different parts. I mean, it's really, really, it's really, really in depth. And I guess the last part was just the maintaining.
Just basically about water changing and making sure you don't let bacteria build up. Pretty simple stuff. I just wanted to make sure I covered it so that nobody just built their loop and just let it go forever, because that would be bad.
Yeah. So at least another thing is, like, a lot of people don't know is that you do have to change out.
It's not water cooling is really rewarding, but it's absolutely is a lot of responsibility and work. It's not a plug and play and let it, 5 years later, open it up and suck out all the dust and everything. It's a hands on and stay involved type of rig. So but I think that generally people that are interested in water cooling are the tinkerer type, and so this actually appeals to them. They don't mind. Plus, to be honest, most of us that are into water cooling, this is never an issue with water changing, because we wind up changing a part of the loop or adding or removing a part, so we end up doing this anyways. So
yeah,
it usually ends up being not a very big deal at all.
Yeah, like I said, I think that people reading, if they go through the whole article series, they're actually going to learn a lot. Even I learned a lot, because I'm not that versed in water cooling. And even, like I said, just like the things to look for and how to do certain things, it's just like, it's a learning thing. And even if you're not going to do water cooling, even if you just read the article, I think you'll be more enlightened and you'll know more about water cooling. Definitely check out that article series. It's pretty awesome.
Yep. I remember starting on water cooling and being a little overwhelmed. So hopefully we take that away and make things simple for you here.
Yeah. And that's, like I said, I think that's the whole point of the article series. So,
yeah.
So are you glad to be finally done with it?
It was a lot of fun. But yeah, totally glad to be done with it.
Yeah. It's like one of those things where, like, you're really excited about the project and you get into it and it's like, there's like ups and downs, but it's like, it's good to be finished, I think.
Yeah. And like, since we're working, we're doing this project, and then obviously I have to do other reviews throughout, and, other things come up and life and stuff. So it really took quite a while to get this all together. Yeah.
But I think that's the good part of it too, is like, we spaced it out and, So really, really great series. 7 parts. Definitely check it out. I would start from the beginning.
If you just need a certain thing, you can jump to it, but I feel like, yeah, start at the beginning and like really learn the whole thing. If you're going to get into water cooling, read the whole thing and then get into building stuff.
Yeah, and we have a tab on the website that says Water Cooling 101. Yeah. It's a pretty big tab, so you can just click on that and see all of the articles in the series. So,
yep.
So yeah, talking about, we'll go from awesome setups to our worst PC setups article. And I forgot to do it last week. I have no clue how I forgot it, but so I posted it up this week, and this is where we go out and find people, especially a lot of times on Reddit, who have just horrible PC setups. Sometimes they're just disgusting people and they don't clean for themselves. In other times it's just like they're moving or they're in between a house renovation or something where what's really great about these is it's like people don't care. They have to have their PC set up. They want a game or they want to be on a PC. And I think that's what's really cool about these is like, no matter what, I'm going to be playing my game tonight, or no matter what, I'm going to be on the internet. Like, you know what I mean?
Some of it speaks to a certain amount of like creativity in their need to like have their gaming arena perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so even though they don't have like the means to go and maybe purchase the best of everything, they like take what they have and they make it work as best as they can.
Yeah, they make it work, and I think it's really cool. And then again, there's some of these that people are just disgusting. There's
just filthy.
There's a couple in here where people their room has to smell so bad.
Yeah.
The one that was really interesting in here that somebody submitted was a PC cafe,
I'm looking at that right now,
where the PCs are built inside these jugs, which makes no sense.
Yeah,
I don't even know what this is.
I don't know if they thought like they were gonna save money this way. Yeah. I mean, they obviously save money, these are probably free, but like you're gonna overheat everything thrown inside of an unvented plastic jug.
Yeah, I don't know what's
I mean, maybe it's just really simple stuff just for internet browsing. Yeah. It looks like it's third world, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of does look like it's third world. But still, at the same time, it's like, some of these just make you shake your head. Like, I would just go through this, if you're listening to this, guys, and just go through and look at some of these, and you're like, one, it makes you feel good about your setup. Two, it's like, what are these people thinking sometimes?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but it's very funny, and it's one of our favorite articles each month. One of my favorite articles each month, at least, just to see what's going on with people sometimes. So,
always makes me feel good about what I'm doing.
Yes, for sure. So definitely check that out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, because today is Friday, of course. And this week we have a really cool build in one of the most expensive cases available. And this is a case that actually you got to see firsthand. I did not.
Yeah.
This year, back in January at CES, it is the Inwin H-Frame 2.0. And this case is amazing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, you got to see it in person. I didn't. And I believe this is the first build or mod inside of it that I know of.
I think this is the first one I've seen too.
Yeah, so this is done by the guys over at GGF LAN Party. They do amazing builds, really like just solid,
classy.
Classy, very very nice. And this is not necessarily a mod, I would say. This is more of a build because everything inside is pretty much all stock. They didn't change that much stuff.
Yeah. They did a little bit of like gold stickering.
Yeah. So this build is done actually for WD, for one of their systems to show off their hard drives. And it is a pretty impressive system in there.
It
is a dual CPU system with dual Intel Xeon E5 2670s. And what's really cool is to see those water cooled, because you don't see Xeon's water cooled ever like in a build. Yeah. So this is like a really, really impressive build. They've matched the color of the case for the most part. So all of the memory is gold and the fittings are all gold. And then the water cooling is white, which I think looks good. It's a different type of, you know, it's I don't know. I just would say it. I don't know what other color you would go with here. I mean, I guess you could go with a lot of different colors, but I think the white is just really solid and it's just professional looking. It's really cool.
Yeah, they could have gone with a gold. Mayhem's is a gold, but
yeah,
I think that would have been too much. A black would have been... Black never is quite black, so that probably wouldn't have worked out well for it. So yeah, I think white was a good choice.
Yeah, it's just like I said, this is just a very clean, solid build. And it's, again, in one of the best cases we've seen this year. That's an awesome case.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, the build is good. Overall, the case really does it, though.
Yeah.
It's just a really
cool. And I actually didn't realize that the power supply had its own window in it.
Yeah, it does. The power supply is actually, it's a one-off just for this case.
Yeah.
It's 1,065 watt. It's incredibly wide because the case is super wide. Yeah, it's a crazy power supply. And it's actually, it's not rated, but it's because it's not going into like full production like a regular power supply would be. But it's, since Inwin is doing power supplies now, it's, yeah, it's platinum. It's a platinum rated power supply, and it's got really, really nice components inside as well.
Nice. That's just, and it's great to see a build like this, especially done by the guys at GGF, because they do such a great job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, they did this for WD. I'm sure WD is super happy with this. And, you know, they already brought it to one event in Australia, and it looked like it got a lot of attention. And the whole point of these case mods, is to bring attention to people's booths and things like that. And it's really, really great. And not in any of the photos, but if you went to the GGF website, they actually, the glass panel that goes on the side, they etched a huge WD logo on the side, which is really cool.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So, yeah, guys, definitely check out that mod. And as always, we have a whole section of case mods. We feature 1 week. We've been doing it for, 3 years now? So,
yeah.
Ton of mods in there. So if you want to see what's possible or get some inspiration or just look at awesome mods, go ahead and check out Case Mod Friday. Just awesome. I love stuff like
definitely
that. So we'll move into news this week, and we have a good bit of NVIDIA news. Last week, of course, was the GPU Technology Conference, and a lot of people were left, I guess you would say, disappointed, because all they talked about was their HPC card, nothing about desktop cards really at all.
And yeah, that's no consumer level product.
Yeah, and that's what everybody was waiting for. So it looks like the big launch, or the big, consumer launch is going to be a Computex, which a lot of people already expected anyways. Yeah. You know, I really didn't think we would see anything consumer level really at GTC. It just didn't make a lot of sense. So it looks like we will see the first launches at Computex. That's what everybody's saying. That's what it's expected. And this will be the GTX 1080, 1070 series cards.
Yeah, the 1000 series.
Yeah, 1000 series cards. So definitely stay tuned for that. And it looks like all of the add-in board partners will be showing off cards at Computex as well.
Cool. So definitely, which means production is well underway.
Yes. So definitely, definitely stay tuned for Computex, and we definitely cover that. Talking about that, it's been reported that there might actually be, so a lot of people are expecting, as I just said, GTX 1080 and GTX 1070 to be announced at Computex. So that's what everybody's been saying for a long time. But there actually could be 3 cards launched at Computex, and that would be the 1080 Ti, the 1080, and 1070. And what's really interesting is that the 1080 Ti would be based on the same GP104-based the GP104 chip. And the GP104 chip is obviously going to be the replacement to the GM204, I believe it's called. That was previous. So that's really interesting, because that makes you think that, okay, the higher level Titan card is going to be the only one that's going to have HBM2,
right?
Which you're pretty sad about.
But I don't know, I'm over it.
Yeah, I think everybody's come to the realization that the only card in the NVIDIA line consumer level is going to be the Titan card.
Yeah,
it's kind of just like, almost just like how we saw when AMD first launched, Fury X was the only one for a while until they brought out the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, but, and I think that's probably going to be the case here, as expected, or not as expected, but we do expect either there's this new GDDR5 that's out. It's not GDDR5X, but it's newer GDDR5 from Samsung that hasn't been used on any GPUs. A lot of people are expecting either that or GDDR5X to be in these cards. But it's cool if we get the full performance lineup at Computex. I'd be pretty excited for that. Is the full...
Somehow I doubt it, though.
Well, what we've been hearing is that they'll be announced there, but you won't see them. You'll see the 1080 and 1070, and then you'll see the TI come later, but it will be announced there.
I could see the 1080 and the 1070 being launched in like July, like we're saying. But I bet we don't see the 1080 TI until more fall.
Yeah, we'll obviously have to see, but I think it's cool that we're gonna basically have a whole.
We'll know the whole line right away.
All they're being based off the same thing, and we're gonna have a high end line, obviously based off the GP100. And we'll see how many cards come out of that. I would just assume the one. I would assume the Titan.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how, you know, if they'll have a cut down version maybe or something. You never know.
I mean, it was last time too.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited. Computex is going to be an awesome time. So
yeah, should be
pretty
sure.
Excited for that. Talking about the GP104, a picture of the silicon was leaked. And it's kind of interesting. It does show pictures of that Samsung memory that I was saying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically it confirms that we're not going to have HBM2.
And we've already accepted that. I'm curious what's the deal with the Samsung memory? Is it as quick as DDR5X or
it's faster? It ticks at 8 gigahertz instead of 7 gigahertz.
So it's in between.
Yeah. But it's not as fast as GDDR5X.
That's lame too.
Yeah. You know, all these leaks are coming out. We're definitely going to get. As it gets closer to Computex time, we're going to have a lot more leaks too. So
yeah, whatever's true and what's not true.
Yeah, well, definitely. I assume we're going to know all the information about the 1000 series at Computex. I just, you know.
Yeah, and there's some information. What about the bus size on this too?
Yeah.
Effective bus size, which it's only 256, so that's not that exciting either.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's incorrect as well. I will be disappointed if we're just taking a minor step forward with NVIDIA here. I think that's a huge mistake, and I think that AMD will be able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, so. AMD could get back some market share here. And especially with the VR stuff, which AMD, I in my opinion, is putting more effort into than NVIDIA. So
I feel like NVIDIA is slipping.
Yeah.
They're not the predominant manufacturer in the news right now, at least, and they've done some things wrong lately, and so I feel like they've kind of moved to the back foot, and they have some ground to make up. Probably not market share wise or sales wise, but in like consumer opinion,
yeah,
I feel like they've got ground to make up.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very interesting year in the GPU space, and we'll definitely keep you guys updated on everything, and I'm definitely excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
For sure. So moving on from GPU stuff to SSDs. And Intel unveiled their SSD 5 series, and this is their mainstream solid-state drive. And it's not super exciting. It's made to be their cost-effective drive, but the one thing that I found extremely important about this drive is it's a TLC based drive, which is all of the cost effective drives are all TLC based because it's cheaper. It's cheaper than MLC NAND. But one thing that's really awesome about it is it has a 5-year warranty. All the other TLC drives have a 3-year warranty. This has a 5-year warranty, which I think is really, really important when, you know, you're looking at these drives because they give you 2 more years of...
Especially when you're talking about capacities like a terabyte and 480.
Yeah.
Because that will last you that long.
Yeah. So I think that's great. I think that it's good to see Intel really... I would say that's stepping up, really. So this is their... Well, they're changing all their naming for their SSDs, too. So the 5 series is their cost-effective cost effective, and then they have their 5 Pro, and then they have their 7, and 7 is the high-end series. But the 5 series TLC-based drives available in the typical 2.5-inch form factor, as well as SATA-based M.2, and you have capacities from 180 all the way up to 1 terabyte.
That's cool.
So yeah, I really like it that they've really bumped up that warranty, because they could have done 3 years and it would just been like everybody else. So
yeah, they didn't have to.
Yes,
and the speeds are fine too.
Yeah, speeds are good. So talking about warranties, another big warranty announcement this week is that Corsair is extending their PSU warranties from 7 years to 10 years. Which I think is really great. I think that there was only a couple people offering 10-year warranties, and they were only on select PSUs. And Corsair is extending quite a few.
More than I actually thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so the AXI series, all the ones with 7-year warranties are now 10-year. So the same with the HXI series, the RMI series, and the RMX series. So that's really great, and that speaks to the quality of these power supplies. They're not going to back them with these warranties if they're not good power supplies. Obviously,
they really it adds to your ability to say this is worth it to buy now.
Yeah,
right?
And the thing is too is that AXI range was launched in 2012. I mean, it's not like these are new power supplies that we have brand new components. We're doing this, that was launched in 2012.
I wonder if they've been doing stability testing all this time. Yeah. And they finally have hit their failure rate, and they're oh wow, these will actually last and quite a bit longer than we thought. So they bumped it up.
Yeah, you never know. But I think it's really great that they've done that. I really recommend Corsair power supplies
definitely
pretty much over mostly everything else.
There's three or four that are good brands to buy, but Corsair is definitely right.
Another reason why I do recommend them, especially the intelligent ones, is because we always recommend if somebody's doing AIO, it's usually Corsair that we recommend. And you can tie the power supply as well as your AIO into their software, Corsair Link software, as well as if you have there's so many things you can do, and I think it's just great to have it all together. And their smart power supplies are great. They show you efficiency. The software, the Corsair Link software, is amazing, and they're always updating it too. So it's just great to see the longer warranties. So if you're looking to buy all of these power supplies now, 10-year warranties, which is pretty hefty in the PSU world. So typically we see 5 on higher end ones. We see 7. There are only a few other companies offering 10, and they're only on specific power supplies. So,
that's very cool.
Yes, definitely like that. Talking, we'll go into gaming a little bit. It looks like the Steam controller may have a hardware revision coming. So I have a Steam controller. I actually like it a lot. Especially for playing certain games like arcade style games. Rocket League is definitely one game where I use a controller a lot. And it looks like they might be changing something. Now, they're not going to change the feature set. All of the features are going to be the same, but they're going to change how it's going to feel and everything and the look and feel of it, which is a lot of people are kind of pissed off at this story because, according to Valve, there's 400,000 units of this, of the Steam controller out in the wild. So, people like me who have the original first one, we kind of feel a little, if they send an hardware revision out, we're going to be kind of alienated.
Yeah, a little jaded about it, you got sent what? This product wasn't quite ready. And it's not even a year old.
Yeah, so that's...
What is it, 6 months maybe?
Maybe.
Seems like about 6 months since you did the first... The Alienware one, right?
Yeah.
Steam box. Yeah, I mean, that's not a very long time to let a product be in the wild before you're like, oh, we don't like things about it. We're going to make a better one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very... Yeah.
Controversial?
Yeah, I would say that.
It's good to fix things, but, I mean... release a product that's good to last for a little bit in the first place.
I mean, this is the Xbox... the original Xbox controller and then the one, the newer one that came out after it was so much better. The original Xbox controller was big and clunky and
sure was.
Yeah. And then the newer one that came out, I think it was a couple years in, was so much better.
Yeah. But even that's a couple years, you know?
Yeah. This is, yeah. So maybe, and again, this is just talk about it.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to come. And if they even do change it, it could be a year out before we see anything. You know what I mean?
But it's still, I mean, it's going to make you want to get the new one.
Yep.
When you have the old one, and that really isn't something that you should be, like, looking to. Usually you don't see a new controller until, like, a new console's coming, you know?
Yeah, so...
But I guess this is slightly different because it is more PC-like.
Yes.
And we do minute upgrades, so...
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to see, and as always, we will keep you updated. I think that... I'm gonna feel alienated.
I think if it's like a year down the road from now, and they release it as like a new edition controller, you know, like it's changed, like the other one's still good, but we changed a few things so that you can have this one as well. That won't be as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, you know, we don't like the sensors that we put in this one, or we don't, you know, things are bad about the original one, that won't be cool.
Yeah. Well, we will just have to see.
Yeah,
I think. Talking about game controllers, or you know,
Periffs.
Asus unveiled their brand new ROG Spatha MMO gaming mouse. And one thing I have to say is that I reviewed a ROG mouse not that long ago, maybe a couple months ago, and I was super impressed. And every time I've seen these at CES. I don't know why. I guess it's because we all know Asus for their motherboards and graphics cards, but their gaming peripherals are amazing.
That's what you said last time, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
They're just really, really well done. They give you a lot of cool features that you don't see on any other mice out there. Yeah. Just like the one that I reviewed came with extra switches, so you could actually change the switches that are in the mouse itself. I mean, it's super cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some of the best feel I've had on a mouse in a while too. It's just really, really good.
This one looks excellent.
Yeah, and what's really cool about this is this can be wired or wireless, which I like.
Yeah.
And it is their MMO mouse, so it has a ton of buttons on there.
Yeah, I love it.
12 programmable buttons, so that definitely will help out all you MMO gamers. It is RGB, so you can change the lighting, I believe, in 3 different places on the mouse and change it independently, so you can have one thing one color, one another. Mm-hmm. Super, super cool that way as well. But it looks like it's a little bit of a bigger mouse, but it looks like it'd be super comfortable. And like I said, Asus does a great job on their gaming products. So yeah. It has the Omron switches, 8200 DPI sensor. You know, it's just great. It looks like it comes with a lot of stuff. So it comes with a carrying case. It comes with a wireless charger. If you're using a wireless mode, you can actually has a charger that you can put it on, so you don't have to plug it back in to charge it.
Looks like it's got a couple of micro switches.
Yeah, so it looks like you have extra switches, and there is a tool to open it up, too. I mean, like I said, they do a really great job, and they don't have to include any of this extra stuff.
Nobody else does.
Yeah, nobody else does. And that's one thing, again, that I think that a lot of people should really look into the Asus ROG gaming products, because they are really well done. And when I first, you know, a lot of companies do make mice, and do, you know, and they're just...
So they just kind of, like, flush out their line with, like, every product, right?
Yeah, and they're just not well done. And when I first got that Asus mouse, I was like, you know. But then after using it and looking at all the feature set and everything else you got with it, I was super impressed. So definitely, if you're an MMO gamer, definitely take a look at this mouse. It'd be great if you could go to the store and try it. But I don't know if you can do that. Maybe at Fry's you might
depends
be able
on,
to.
Yeah, it depends on where.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, and this mouse did receive a Red Dot Design Award too, so
nice.
That's really cool.
So I'm not really an MMO gamer, mostly FPS, but I do use a Razer Naga, which is an MMO mouse,
because
I like the buttons on the side by my thumb. I use that for all my weapon switching and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but there's 12 of them on this one, which is way more than I need.
Well, they're not all.
I see that. Well, not... on my current mouse, right?
Okay.
And they're all right at the thumb, individual little buttons. I see that 6-button cluster on this Spatha as like being like a really nice alternative to what I'm using right now.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. That's what I'm about to say. Like, yeah, there's like 6 on the side, and then you have 2 on the top, 1 on the other side.
Yeah,
you know,
just set those up as your number keys, and you're good to go.
Yeah. So, definitely, again, if you're looking for a new mouse, or even their keyboards are super nice as well.
They're definitely worth looking at.
Yeah, for sure. And it'd be great, like I said, if you could go to a store and try them out and compare them to other stuff. But they're really, really good. So yeah. We'll move on from that to Google. And we don't usually have a lot of Google stories, but I thought this one was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So Google launched their fiber service in select markets a few years ago. And the first market out of a major market, that was not a major tech market, was Kansas City. So they launched it in San Francisco, I believe, New York, in a couple other places. Yeah. But they launched it in Kansas City to bring broadband speed to more people who don't have access to it. And the way they did that is they offered the service for free. You had free service. All you had to do was pay the installation fee, which a lot of people jumped on because it's free service, free internet service.
That would have been for sure.
Free broadband internet service. And it was a great thing. Well, it looks like they're dropping the free service. So they'll be dropping this free service.
I wonder what the installation fee was.
It wasn't a lot.
Okay.
But, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, maybe like 70, 100 bucks.
Yeah. I'm sure that this was like noted in like your agreement when you paid for that to happen. But I'd probably feel a little bit shafted, you know?
Yeah. But I think, you know, Google is under a lot of scrutiny to make this a viable ISP service.
Right.
So that's why they're doing this. And yes. People who already have signed up, they have until May 19th to keep their initial agreement, which lasts up to 7 years. So say you signed up last year.
Oh, okay.
You still have 6 more years on your current contract. Oh, okay. And then when that runs out, you can either sign up for their paid service or another ISP. Their paid service, they have their Fiber 100 service, which is $50 a month, and then they have their gigabit service, which is $70 a month. So it's not bad, I feel, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, $50 for 100 megs is, like, that's a steal.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
And the $50 a month is 20 times faster, they say, than their free service.
So. That's what I mean. It's 100 meg then.
Yeah.
It's 20 times faster, so.
Yeah.
That's a really good, that's good speed for what you're getting, and it's Google. It's fiber, it's not old infrastructure, and it's Google. It's not one of our monopolies in the ISP market. I would love to be on Google. I would ditch Comcast
in same here.
Half a heartbeat, honestly.
And one other really cool thing is that there's no installation fee now. So if you're paying for this, there's no installation fee anymore.
They'll hook you up for nothing.
Yeah. So I think it's a good change. I think that, you know, the free service is cool and everything, especially for people who don't have internet. You know, especially older people and people just in more rural areas. That's why Kansas City was picked as this market, because not a lot of people.
Is this Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri?
I don't know. I would say Kansas City, the big one, Missouri, right?
Missouri?
Yeah.
Probably Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Yeah, so I still think it's it doesn't necessarily bother me, especially since they're slashing the installation fee too. And $50 for 100 meg is good. I don't even know how much I pay through Comcast, but one, the service is not the best. Two,
I just hate the company.
Yeah, that too. So,
I mean, it's been proven that they throttle competitor sites and connections, in spite of the fact that it's illegal.
Yes.
Just don't like those monopolies in any little sense. I would love to for Google to have my track all of my information if I didn't have to deal with those other companies.
They were supposed to put it here, but I don't know if I would live in the infrastructure area. I assume I would, because I'm technically in the city of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if they would, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in like a...
like a suburb?
No, I'm not. I'm in the city. Like, I pay city taxes. But I'm, like, not in the downtown area, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I
would think you would still be within range.
Yeah, so hopefully, because Google has a pretty big, they have a big office here. And there's, you know, Pittsburgh is very, especially the past 5 years is very, very big on startup culture and things like that. And obviously CMU's here, which is huge in the, you know, computer and programming world. So hopefully if it's available, I will get it.
Oh, yeah. So, I think that's a no-brainer.
Yes. So we'll move on to a very funny story. And I thought this was hilarious, is that somebody took Flappy Bird. If you guys aren't familiar with it, it's a game that came out for mobile probably a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, which was extremely hard game. And it became extremely popular because it was so, it wasn't that it was super hard, but it was so hard, and you'd try to beat your high score, and it was amusing. It was an amusing game. So somebody programmed it to work on their e-cigarette. One of the custom e-cigarettes that have a little display screen that shows, I guess, I don't even know what they show.
I don't even know what it would display.
I think my buddy had one. They show how much voltage you're giving it or whatever, and that affects how much smoke comes out or something. I don't know. But it's super cool that somebody basically ported this to work on that. I have no clue how that's even possible. We linked a video showing it working. He also apparently has a working version of Snake on there. you know, it's kind of like how, you know, people put games on calculators, on graphing calculators.
Yeah.
Which was the most amazing thing at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you would sit there in class and play... what were the games? I mean, Snake was one of them.
Yeah.
What was Snake. The other one that was you were a murderer or something? And it was all text based, but
role playing.
What was it called?
I don't remember.
That was an amazing game. When I got that on my graphic calculator, I was super pumped.
Yeah.
Because it was super illegal.
That was the funnest thing ever about high school.
Yeah.
So, was getting your graphing calculator modded so you could play games on it.
Yeah. So that was, this is kind of the same thing, a little bit different, obviously, but I still think it's super cool. Just somebody took the time to do it.
Yeah.
And apparently in the video, in the description, he shows how you can do it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool in the hack sense, you know?
Yeah. It's not cool in e-cigarettes. We're not fans of those at all.
No.
Bad for you. So we will finally move on to some gaming news this week. There's actually two gaming things, but we'll talk about the first one, which is the reveal trailer, the reveal teaser trailer for Titanfall.
Yeah, very much a teaser.
I don't even know how long it is. It's not that long.
45 seconds.
Yeah. And, what's really great about this is that Titanfall probably, when did it came out? 2013?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Was one of the most popular games on a lot of platforms. It was great on PC. I played the, was it the beta or whatever? And I liked it, but I just felt that it would get boring, and that was the big downfall of it. That's why.
Yeah. I have it on PC. I played probably 10 hours, and that was all I could do.
It was, you know, it's a cool game, but there was no single player aspect to it. It was really great, and I love the mechanics. And who doesn't love killing things in mechs? I would say that.
Yeah.
Especially when you got that first Titan drop in the game, the first time you did it, and you drop your Titan down, you felt like such a badass.
Yeah.
The game mechanics were really great. I think it was a really great game. A huge success, I would say, up until the part where people got bored.
The player skill level, at first you had a really good time, and then you leveled up a little bit, and it was all of a sudden incredibly harder, right?
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah, so I did the game. I played it a good bit. But we have a new one coming out. This is the teaser trailer. It's not very long. It just shows a drop pod coming down and then the feet of a mech. It's it's a reveal trailer, so it's not a lot. But it gets you excited for the next game. And one thing that's cool about the next game is that it will have a single player mode, which will bring more story to it. I love games that have that kind of story aspect to it. Even though, you know, Halo, the big thing was the multiplayer, right? But I felt the story was still very good.
For me, the story was
and the same thing
everything.
With Gears of War. Those games, I felt the story was really, really good. But the multiplayer, of course, would help the game keep on going.
Yeah, that's just what give you more life to the game.
Even like the Battlefield games, I feel the stories are pretty good in those.
I've not played any of the stories.
Wow, you should.
The first Battlefield 3, the story I thought was horrible. It was the slowest moving plot like I'd ever played.
Probably.
So.
But, I mean, it's just good to have that single player aspect, I think.
Oh, definitely.
I think a lot of times, you know, and as you said, as you leveled up, it got harder. Sometimes you just don't want to play. You don't want to be, you want a yeah, more casual yeah. gaming experience, I would say.
Yeah.
And I think having a single player is good. So, this was just, as I said, the reveal teaser, I guess you would say. It's expected to have a full reveal on June 12th at EA's Play event, which will take place during E3. So definitely stay tuned for that. I'm pretty pumped. I will probably at least play the beta when they do a beta for this and see how it is. So,
yeah, check it out. Yes. I'm sure that the beta will play very similar to the original.
Yes. And talking about betas, we didn't really do an article. We did an article last week on it.
Yeah, is I was that hoping we were going to talk about this.
The Doom beta starts
it's
today.
It's live. So it's live right now.
So I got to download it after this podcast. So Doom beta is live today. It's available till Sunday, I believe. So definitely download that. Get into it.
Looks so good.
I've heard. I saw a headline. I didn't get into read it. Okay. I probably should have done that before we started the podcast. But there was an article saying that it's been slammed by Steam reviews already. It's
really
bad. Yeah. But ooh, I haven't.
Steam now.
Yeah. I that's just what I heard. If you go to Steam, which we can do here.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Open beta.
Why is my internet Steam. Not working?
Because you don't pay very much for it.
Yeah, that's probably true. Oh, there it goes. Like it just didn't bring up anything.
Where's the reviews at?
Let's see. Doom.
Can I link you?
No, I got it.
Oh yeah. Oh look at that. Is not it, recommended.
Is, yeah, is it bad?
Yeah, I fully recommend people try out the beta and have some fun. I do not, however, encourage you to pay buy a crappy for that.
Is it
that sounds like they're just complaining about paying money. No advanced graphic options for PC, but it's beta.
Yeah, but still, I mean, here's the thing too. Is, okay, so this game, I assume there's a first play. There is a single player, but you know, a lot of games like this, like Unreal Tournament. Is free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's a big thing. If they're bringing out a game that is very, you know, esports-like, just, you know, like an Unreal Tournament, a lot of people want it to be free these days. And a lot of these games that are coming out are free.
But I don't... I will gladly pay you $60 for a full game.
Yeah, that's true.
That's well-built, looks good. I don't need to be given a game. I don't expect people to do work for free. I would gladly pay you $60 to not get inundated with ads throughout the game. To get, I don't want to feel like I need to purchase something or I'm not, you know, playing the game.
Yeah,
I don't like that at all. It's on Steam. It's 839 positive and 1260 negative right now.
Ooh.
So, a little less than 50-50.
Yeah.
Actually, that's more like.
Well, again, like you said, it is a beta. We will have to see how
it... Yeah, I mean, if anything, they can fix it, maybe?
Yes.
Because it's beta. But beta also... open beta also means it's fairly well along.
Yeah.
So.
We'll have to see. I'm going to download it after we get off this podcast and definitely get in some games here over the weekend. So yeah,
all of the gameplay videos that I've, you know, that we've been shown, I'm like all I want to do is play it, but that makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
Definitely going to have to make some time this weekend check out the beta.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, that is all of our news this week. Coming up next week, we have some reviews and ones I talked about because I didn't get them done this week because that NASA review took a lot of time. So I'll be taking a look at the ASRock Fatality Z170 Gaming K6 Plus. And this is a really cool motherboard from ASRock. It is the gaming board from their Z170 line. And I really like it. I've been testing it this past week. There's a lot of different things in this that I don't want to tell you about because I don't want to ruin the review, but it's really, really cool board. A lot of features. Obviously, being a Fatality board, it has a lot of gaming-centric features as well. So definitely stay tuned for that review. And I will be taking a look at the Fractal Design Core 500. And as we talked about last week, this is their mini ITX case, just made for building a small system, a small gaming system. It actually has room for AIO in there, which I might actually do an install of. I'm not specifically sure if I'm going to do. I haven't figured that out yet. But I do believe it does a 240 AIO up top, which in a mini ITX case, and this is a super small case. It's not like it's a big mini ITX that you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a true mini
ITX. It's a true mini ITX, very, very small. It actually has support for a 5 1/4 inch drive bay, which I'm not a fan of, but which I won't even use. But I think it's a cool little case, and if you're a fan of Fractal Design, you'll definitely like this. So stay tuned for that. And I'll be taking a look at a air cooler, the CryoRig M9. And the M9 is basically made to be the replacement for your stock Intel cooler. It should have a little bit better performance. It's very small. It's, you know, it's just that cooler that if you're buying an Intel chip, you know.
Yeah. You just don't want to use that stock cooler.
You don't want to use the stock cooler. This should be easier to install. And I hate the stock. I did an article years ago on the Intel stock cooler because the connectors are plastic, which they're I'm not
terrible.
Yeah, which I'm not a fan of. So yeah, that is what is coming up next week. And at the end of our podcast, as always, we talk about things we did this week. So did you do anything cool this week?
Not really. Well, I spent all last weekend racing my bike. Went to Ohio, which was
horrible. I heard that was horrible for you.
It was horrible. The drive was horrible. How do you people live in Ohio? Why don't you have freeways? That's my real question. Why is everything connected by county roads?
I don't know. We have freeways in Pennsylvania. I've been to Ohio. There's freeways there. You just probably didn't go on the right one.
I had to actually go in like down to like the middle west side of it, so I wasn't like just skirting through it.
Yeah. Well, sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm trying to think if I did anything. Nothing really exciting. It is playoff hockey time. Mm-hmm. And the Penguins won their first game, which I was pretty pumped about.
Back on the bandwagon.
What do you mean?
You were such a hater at the beginning of the season.
No.
You're like, these guys are horrible.
They were horrible. They weren't playing good. Like, they just weren't. Like, even a couple months ago, I said this team is never going to make the playoffs because they were playing so bad. They fired their coach. They played so much better. Everybody's actually like, you know, you could tell a team is kind of like give up on plays and stuff like that. That's how they were playing. Like, it just wasn't good. You know what I mean? And the past couple months, they've played super well, even with injuries. I'm really excited. A lot of people are calling them the favorites going into the playoffs, which is really exciting. But you just have to take it one game at a time and see how they play. We don't have our starting goalie or our backup goalie. We have a backup playing right now because the other two guys are injured. We don't have like four other players, and we're still winning. I think that's amazing. You know, it's just like the coach now is a really, really, really good coach. It's all about work ethic and getting things done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think they're playing really well. I'm really excited. The next game is tomorrow afternoon at 3:00.
Sweet.
So I'm pretty pumped about that. That's basically all I've done. I'll be playing Doom this weekend and working on those reviews for you guys. And that's basically it.
So, nice. Yeah. Get some Doom action going.
Yes, for sure. So that basically wraps it up for our podcast, guys. As always, we will have a full page of show notes. So as we're talking about things, you can go ahead and click on the articles to get even more information than what we talked about and just to check it out and all of that. And on all of your favorite podcasting sources or programs, just Think Computers, all one word, and we will definitely show up. So until next week, catch you guys later.